and that stereotype remain with this new director. And I see a paradox here. If Linda Steinhaus was giving lip service to the homeless community, well, then she should have given me something. If she respected me as a homeless person or just as an individual, that I shouldn't have carried any clout in order to deserve the payment that everyone else got on that. And so I'm taking this action as Shooting Star Sticker Company because I really would like to locate in Santa Cruz as a business. I would like to be in downtown Santa Cruz. I don't want to have to go to Capitola. I know the parking assessment fees are there, and I have no qualms with the parking assessment because that pays a bond issue and reconstruction for the parking garage, etc. But as far as this assessment fee for the downtown association, I've talked to many business owners, and they really can't tell me what the downtown association has done except for a couple of small events here and there. And in the meantime, the Santa Cruz Chamber of Commerce and the Visitors Bureau do quite a good job of promoting Santa Cruz, and that this is an added burden to businesses to have to pay this assessment fee where they could be putting this money into other promotion and into employees or into bonuses or into advertising and not have to come down and work themselves in the shop while their kids are home doing drugs and all this, you know. It's kind of like a can of worms.
Give us some idea. What does a person pay the Downtown Association Assessment District? What kind of fee are we talking, let's say, for a small business downtown on Pacific?
Well, if you had 1,000 square feet, you'd be paying $310 a year.
And 1,000 square feet is what, about like a 30 by 30 space or something like that?
Approximately, and that's a small business space. So, you know, if you had a good-sized business, you'd be paying, $1,000 a year to the Downtown Association, and then that adds up for the businesses that are on second floors that don't have the foot traffic. They still have to pay that same fee, and those are the ones that are really in protest of the Downtown Association fees. Plus, as I talked to Margaret Marr, there's a lot of businesses that are at the lower end of the mall that are not getting good representation whatsoever, and they're still paying that fee.
So, I know Margaret Marr did bring this issue up to City Council and was slapped down or ignored about the whole process. She has also, of course, been an opponent of the Downtown Association's attempt to ram through the downtown ordinances, which came from the Downtown Commission, which is, of course, the kind of the governmental body that the merchants largely control. You apparently have had some conversations with prominent merchants downtown who don't exactly agree with the Downtown Association. I don't want to put you on the spot here. I'm not going to name any names unless you choose to. Do you want to talk about the kind of specifics you've heard about the Downtown Association in terms of, I mean, does it represent the business downtown? Is it sort of a small group that's out of touch? What do you think?
Well, you know, this survey went out on Tuesday, Election Day, and you're a witness to the fact that after 24 hours, there was only 3 phone calls that were coming in to support the Downtown Association. And out of those 3 phone calls, there was only 2 individuals that were willing to give their names. And one of those individuals wished to talk to me, and I went and did talk to this person, and I will not give their name for privacy reasons, but we had a good conversation, and they have a fairly large business that has a storefront on Pacific Avenue. And we talked about the Downtown Association, what the Downtown Association, in their opinion, has done for them or everyone else. And there was a dearth of activity that I found the Downtown Association had promoted. And that they actually confessed to me that they didn't agree with the Downtown Association's political agenda, so to speak. And I talked to another business owner who is one of the largest business owners downtown, and they informed me that they were no longer supporting the Downtown Association as they used to, and they couldn't agree with their political agenda, so to speak.
Well, you know, I'm wondering, does that political agenda, it seemed to include, for example, creating a whole new retail center out at the boardwalk, which would be in competition with the downtown, supporting this gateway shopping center down at Highway 1 and Highway 9, which some have called a turnstile, not a gateway to the town, in the sense that people would just go into these box stores and then leave without taking any of their business downtown. And they also seem to have been, I don't know, how did they stand on Crown Books? What was the Downtown Association's position on Crown Books? Do you have any insight into this yet?
Well, The image that I see is that the Downtown Association may have had a lot of things to do as the downtown was recovering from the quake, and as we all know, it was the downtown that suffered the greatest from the quake. But after we recovered, there's only one lot left downtown, and that's a lot across from the Cooper House, the Rittenhouse property that hasn't been developed yet.
The Kennedy Memorial Park.
Yeah, we could make that a park or a parking lot, but in the meantime, I think they've run out of things to do, and you know, and I think they're trying to create these other issues to justify their existence or to keep the interest of the businesses downtown, to keep their assessment fees coming in, to pay their salaries, etc.
Well, I think that again, let's. Are you looking for people to kind of give you? Support this group, Reconstructionists Against Downtown Association Representation. What exactly you're seeking? Essentially, to have the downtown assessment become a voluntary? Are you seeking to have a new group to represent them? Are you saying that the Chamber of Commerce is sufficient? And again, I'm not trying to put you on the spot in terms of insisting you have all your positions, you know, ready to go, because it sounds like you're in the process of talking to a number of prominent merchants downtown to find out how they feel about the Downtown Association, how can businesses best be represented. This isn't my normal hat, by the way. I don't regard myself as a particularly knowledgeable business person. I'm usually pretty much of a hostile to not business interests per se, but to the idea that business interests should take over the entire downtown, privatize the sidewalks, and drive poor people out, simply out of the fear that they might create a problem with the businesses and the minds of the more paranoid members of our society. But nonetheless, I find it very interesting that you are, you know, investigating this area and exploring it. I guess, again, I want to remark that if anybody wants to join this conversation, we do have a call-in phone line. You can call us at 427-3772. 427-3772, and of course there is there's a number that they can call the organization you are a part of, particularly if they have any testimony regarding their particular court case you're trying to fight, whether they've seen you on this video from last Christmas where you were sounds like ripped off by the Downtown Association. They used your image without your permission. Then when you made the rather modest request of $100. They told you, get lost, hippie scum, or I'm not assuming they didn't use those words, but that may have been the message. You want to give your number again on that?
Yeah, I'm the Pied Piper, and my number is 477-4117. And the court case for perjury against Linda Steinhau and the Downtown Association is coming up December 10th at 1 p.m. in Department 7. And anyone that was a witness to the Christmas video is welcome to come or contact me. And that's at 477-4117. And testify that I was, in fact, on for more than 1 second and that my music was being used.
Also, you have a copy of this video, right?
Well, I can easily get a copy of the video. But although it's been amended several times since, I would seek the credibility of good witnesses to testify to the fact that that these facts are in place, and that I was on for more than a second, and that my personal music was used. At a later time, it was overdubbed because they were afraid that I was going to protest, and they saw this coming, so they changed the video in order to obstruct justice, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Oh, getting back to the radar. Now, I created radar primarily to test the waters of the downtown businesses.
You know, again, Reconstruction Against Downtown Association Representation.
Yes, that's right. And, I've been meeting with downtown businesses, and as a businessman, I would like to form a steering committee to look into the possibility that if 51% of the tax base of these downtown businesses are going to vote against the Downtown Association representation, well, then it will be eliminated. And I'm sure that we can all find ways to promote the downtown without having the Downtown Association and their political agenda going about doing their own particular way of promoting the downtown. And in the meantime, I see that they've put a negative stigma on the downtown with all of this talk about, oh, we're really necessary to be down here because we have so many problems. And I don't think, now we're moving into the 21st century, the Santa Cruz downtown is a thriving business area. We don't need that kind of negative stigma any longer.
So if you'd like to be a part of Radar, or get more information about Radar, or simply learn more about this group, and really this is all of our downtown we're talking about, and We're talking about powerful business interests downtown that need to be kept, shall we say, under surveillance, to use a police term. You can contact Stephen here at 477-4117, 477-4117. We're going to switch now to a brief musical interlude. Here's something from the San Francisco Mime Troupe many years ago, a production called Fact Wino versus Armageddon Man. The San Francisco Mime Troupe. That was at the beginning of Reagan's reign, and here we are almost 20 years later, and it's still raining. For those of you who want to talk to Stephen, he is still in the studio, and he's going to hang with us for a bit as we roll through some other business. It's actually, business isn't quite the word. We're not making any money here. We are, in fact, Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. We welcome your call. 427-3772 is the studio line. If you have anything you want to say about the Downtown Association, any questions you have of Stephen about Reconstructionists against the Downtown Association representation, or perhaps misrepresentation, as some might say. We've also been on the streets, that is me and my trusty tape recorder, wandering about. And last show, I really was very fortunate to have John Malkin of San Francisco, formerly of Santa Cruz, of the Citizens Police Review Board, on the air. He called in long distance on his dime, and we talked for over an hour. Took up a lot of time, and there were some tapes I was going to play. And I'm going to do a little of that now. We're going to turn now to the streets of Santa Cruz, where a situation down at Lincoln and Pacific has prompted at least three flyers from me, two of them flyers, one of them the new Street Shit Sheet, which is the homeless newsletter, which had gone into hibernation for the last year, but which I've kind of resuscitated around the election, and perhaps in December, as the weather gets colder, November and December, the issue of the sleeping ban and the rights of poor people outside becomes more pressing. At Lincoln and Pacific for the last week, there has been a sort of a on and off again war going on between some members of the Santa Cruz Police Department, notably officers Mike Headley and Officer Bayani, and the young, dreadlocked, long-haired, former deadhead-type folks who hang out at what's called Hippie Planter, which has kind of been the community alternative area that has now supplanted the Hippie Corner at Cathcart and Pacific, which of course is now taken up with redevelopment and rebuilding, and actually had previously been decimated by increased police surveillance and busts. Looks like a similar kind of activity is happening at Hippie Planter, where innocent and kind of community building, you might even say, activity, hacky sack playing, a place where poor people who don't have other places to meet. And no doubt there's some small-scale drug dealing going on. I haven't seen it myself, candidly, but I imagine people buy and sell marijuana. You know, that happens. It's theoretically, it should be legal in the state to medically use marijuana, but the big boys, whether it's the police departments or the drug dealers or the government bureaucrats whose jobs depend on this, don't want that to happen. Anyway, there's a crackdown at Hippie Planter. Has been, as I said, for the last week and a half. I went there today, and I didn't get a lot of negative comments about the last day or two, but I actually witnessed an incident as we were driving past. Becky Johnson and I jumped out of the car. She had her video camera. This was on election eve. We rushed over to find two men sitting on the sidewalk, almost alone, right outside New Leaf Market, sitting, mind you, not playing music loudly, not vomiting, not drunkenly babbling and ranting, not panhandling, none of that sort. They were sitting, and they were getting tickets for sitting. That's what they're getting tickets for, sitting on the sidewalk near a shop. At night, the shop was closed. These are the laws that the Downtown Association, the Downtown Commission, and the old city council, which is still in power until November 24th, gave us, the downtown ordinances. And what we need to do, of course, is change those ordinances so we actually have a real community process of dealing with problems. There are going to be problems. There are going to be people playing music too loud in the street. There are going to be older folks wanting to sleep in the, you know, the residences and the buildings above. There are going to be merchants who are apprehensive about too many people near their shop door. And these are real concerns that people should be able to work out. But that's not to be done by police with truncheons and guns and badges and radios coming in to simply enforce merchant law. That's not the way to do it. Let's hear a little bit about the hacky sack scene. We're going to continue an interview we began to play at the last show. This show, for those who don't know, happens twice a week, Sundays at 11 o'clock in the morning, and of course on Thursdays at 6. We'll go into the tape in just a moment, but we have an incoming call.
Hi, Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, Robert, it's Ben Jones.
Hi, Ben.
How you doing?
Good. Have you been listening, or are you kind of just calling?
No, actually, I just got home.
Well, Ben, let's kind of interrupt the sequence here. I was about to play a tape about the harassment of hacky sackers down at Hippie Planter.
Yeah.
Sounds trivial to many people, but this kind of harassment is not too many steps away from something that resulted in a death in our community a year ago, the death of Happy John Dine. And I guess you have been organizing a rally, a memorial rally on November 12th.
Yeah, and it's definitely not a separate entity. It's all a part of the Downtown Association's plan to clean up the streets of so-called undesirables, and many think that Happy was targeted as an undesirable by the Downtown Association just because of its presence downtown. And November 12th, next Thursday, is going to mark the one-year anniversary of when he was shot by Officer Connor Terry at the corner of Front Street in SoCal. So myself and Steve, RU for the Peace and Freedom Party, have been flyering around downtown Santa Cruz. And there's going to be a vigil at 5:30 at the clock tower. Just to remember Happy John, we're going to have an open mic for anybody who would like to come and say some words about Happy or the situation with police harassment downtown. And then probably march to Happy Corner, which is front of SoCal, and probably cover the sidewalk with Tucson.
Ben, talk a little louder. I think we're getting words that our signal is a little weak. So.
Okay. Let me try to get closer to my phone. We're going to march to Happy Corner after the open mic at the clock tower and cover the sidewalk with Tucson and just pretty much let the San Francisco people know that we haven't forgotten about this, because once people forget about it, that's pretty much over. But you have to let them know that it's not over, we haven't forgotten.
Well, I know you've also done a video, right, that you made, ironically enough, for Mike Rodkin's class.
Yeah, actually it wasn't his class, but right now the elongation of it is under the supervision of, indirectly, of Mike Rodkin. But yeah, at 8 o'clock, whoever would like to come up to the Prestige College as part of the Rational Series, I'm going to be hosting a forum where that video is going to be shown. It's just a short 10-minute documentary, which pretty much can educate you if you don't really know what happened in John Donne incident. It's a good video just to, you know, give an overview. Unfortunately, I just, 10 minutes can't really go into all the issues that are involved.
Well, I understand you're expanding that video, right?
Yeah,
30
I am.
Minute video.
I'm in the process of doing that, and I may just include it as a part of this documentary that I'm making on police brutality.
And for those who don't know, Happy John, of course, was a sometime homeless person and certainly homeless activist and protester against police brutality, who was sort of a kind of a throwback, some would say, or perhaps a visionary, others would say, to the 60s. He was always kind of saying, happy day, you know, oh brother, using all the kind of lingo of the 60s. Some of us found him a little bit weird, and others found him delightful. I mean, it depends on your perspective.
Yeah.
And he was shot twice by Officer Connor Carey in a shooting that was never investigated by any independent agency. Similar, for example, to the Charles Bond shooting that happened more recently in Seaside, and that is the subject, I should point out, of a forum tomorrow night and all Saturday in Monterey. And I'm hoping actually to get a phone call from Alede Jehudi of the National Tribunal on Police Brutality and Misconduct. Also, I want to point out that we have another trial coming up where a man shot 4 or 5 times by Santa Cruz police in his own home. That's the case of Brian Andrus, who had a mistrial. Two members of the jury refused to believe the officers involved and would not agree to a verdict of not guilty. I mean, a verdict of guilty. So he goes back to trial, I believe, the week of the 16th. And so maybe there'll be some discussion of that as well.
Yeah, definitely. We're actually going to be planning on going to Monterey tomorrow, the next day. Marla and I are filming it for our documentary on police brutality.
Are you running a caravan there that people could join, or is this sort of just...
I don't know how much space we're going to have with film equipment, but if there is a person that is absolutely stuck without a ride, they're welcome to call me at 335-8069.
335-8069 for anyone who wants to go to the Monterey Forum Against Tribunal on Police Brutality and Misconduct, which goes on, as I said, on Friday night, I guess from 6 to 9. Then they have free housing. There is no cost for this forum, I've been told. It is amazing. It's a long, long forum, but it isn't going to cost a penny if you go down there. And it sounds like they're bringing together all kinds of experts in the field. It's from as far away as New York, dealing with all kinds of cases, including Mumia Abu-Jamal, who's recently been denied the stay of execution by the bloodthirsty governor of Pennsylvania. So I would encourage people to come to that tomorrow. And if, again, your number, if they want to reach you, is...
It's 335-8069.
335-8069. And also, of course, your memorial for Happy John, which I keep against the town clock, and we'll have food from India Joe Schultz is going to provide hot food for that memorial for those who have who don't have bagged lunches.
And feed the people.
Sorry?
And feed the people also.
Oh, feed the people is also going to be there. Feed the people, it was kind of an occasional sabbatical, but it's back. And it's feeding in downtown Santa Cruz every Mondays and Tuesdays at 5:00. Give them a call at 425-FEED if you want to help them or get information. throw in a plug for them. Anything else you want to say while we got you on the air here, man?
Yeah, I just encourage people to come out next Thursday and come up to Kresge and hopefully mention the Charles Bond incident, which is a similar situation to what happened with John John in Monterey, and we're probably hopefully getting somebody from his family to come and speak about it because they've really been instrumental. They just set up a committee in Monterey which is going to help the police better deal with mentally disabled people. They've really got active in that community.
So we've got to worry about the morally disabled people that run the police department.
Yeah,
the problem,
yeah. So hopefully we'll be having them come down, so as much as you can do next Thursday, November 12th.
Yeah, also, if you're interested, you know, we do have a guest in the studio who's concerned about the Downtown Association. Have you gotten much support from the Downtown Association for this Happy John Dine Memorial Rally?
No, not really. Posters have been taken down. I just think that it's, you know, they'd just rather have it cleaned off, washed out of memory. So,
how do you know it's the DTA that's doing that?
We've had reports of Downtown Post taking down posters and whatnot.
Really?
So that kind of...
It's interesting. On Election Day, I heard that there were people taking down... Actually, it was on Election Night. I got an interview with, which I may be able to play tonight if the tape works. So I've got to find out. Get one tape that broke. With Scott Graham of the Beach Area Working Group. He was actually followed by a Linda Steinau person who would tear down his Fitzmaurice Crown Sugar posters he put up and put up Steinau posters or some such thing. It was really a notorious situation. I may have the details wrong, but he was definitely tearing down the posters, and so they finally called the police. The police didn't arrest him, apparently. They just told him, bad boy, don't do it, you know, and apparently please don't do it in sight of the people whose posters you're tearing down. I mean, that's carrying things a little too far. Well, I'm glad you're doing this. So again, I guess it's tomorrow, I guess, what time are you going to leave for Monterey?
Well, probably about 5:36. I think it's officially starts at 6:30.
So, again, they should give you a call at what number if they want to ride with you?
335-8069.
335-8069 to go down to the National Tribunal on Police Brutality and Misconduct, and come prepared to stay the night or to hitchhike back because there is free housing down there, apparently. And it does go on. Most of the events are on Saturday, day after tomorrow. I will be leaving for them probably around 5 or 5:30, and people can always call me, too, if they're looking for a ride. We may have a space or two in the car. My number, if you have any questions about anything that's happening on the show, all you listeners out there, if you want any of the other numbers repeated, is 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Anything else, Ben?
No, just come out this weekend, next weekend. There's a lot going on, so hope to see everybody out there.
Yeah. All righty.
Okay.
Thanks.
Take care.
Well, no sooner did we get off the phone than it's another phone call. Hang on.
You're on free radio.
Hi, Robert.
Yes.
This is Vinny. You might want to turn the little red knob on the top of the phone line to help you get the better volume.
We're talking about the trim knob?
Yes, turn it up towards the right.
Okay, I'm turning it up.
There you go. Testing.
How are we sounding?
Sounded a lot better. Couldn't hear the last caller at all.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Is that better now?
Much better. I can totally hear everything now.
Oh, great. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Well, my apologies, listeners. boy, I noticed that the little dial indicator was not indicating much at all, but with my... touching faith in the modern technology, I was ready to just boogie ahead. Oh, looks like Uncle Dennis has arrived an hour and a half early to evict me. Good to see you, Dennis. I hope we can be heard now. Let's take a little comic break here after all this serious talk. Here's the Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe. One of the best improvisational groups that, it's not on the air anymore, but at least it's on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Excuse me, Dr. Goodguy. Dr. Goodguy.
What is it, Larry? My interns and I are late for our rounds.
Dr. Goodguy, I want you to meet the hospital's insurance company liaison, Mr. Flutterbutt. Mr. Flutterbutt, Dr. Goodguy.
Some other time, Flutterbutt. I've got rounds to make.
What the good doctor means is he's pleased to meet you and to have you accompany his rounds this morning.
What?
Yes, this just as the director of hospital administration promised, he'll make you feel most welcome, won't you, Dr. Goodguy?
The director of hospital administration, oh, for Christ's sake. All right, but stay out of the way, will you? Jeez, unbelievable.
Just here to make sure the hospital is using the latest cost-cutting techniques. That's all, Dr. Goodguy. You and your interns just go on about your usual business and you won't even notice I'm along for the ride.
Fine, whatever. All right, students, our first patient this morning is Miss Elmgate. Good morning, Miss Elmgate. How's that foot of yours feeling today?
It doesn't hurt at all today, Doctor. I feel fine.
That's wonderful, Miss Elmgate. See here, people? Miss Elmgate suffered a hairline fracture of the fifth metatarsal. Hey, give me that x-ray back. What are you doing?
Only doing my job, my good man. This woman clearly has no need of hospitalization.
This is an outrage. You're not qualified to assess a patient's medical condition.
Better get used to it, Doctor. The current crisis in healthcare calls for drastic changes in our approach to medicine. This woman says she feels good. Her foot doesn't hurt anymore. I'd say she should be immediately discharged from the hospital.
Oh, you would, would you?
Dr. Goodguy, really, let's just go on with rounds, all right? I mean, the hospital director insisted that having Flutterbutt along was just some part of the new insurance contract. So could we just go on?
All right. It is getting late. Okay, over here we have another patient, Mr. Belzer. Mr. Belzer is 94 years old and he's dead.
Oh, what a shame. How did that happen?
But this makes no sense.
Yeah.
Yesterday all his vital signs were improving and we were hoping to remove him from the respirator in just a few days. Hey, wait a minute. Somebody unplugged him.
Somebody unplugged the respirator?
Who would do such a terrible thing?
Oh, no, I don't think it's such a terrible thing. Mr. Belzer was getting on in years, after all, and you just can't expect...
You! You had something to do with this.
Well, I...
Oh, my.
You killed Mr. Belzer. You unplugged his respirator.
Better get used to it, Dr. Goodguy. We just can't afford to waste scarce medical resources on people with little chance of full recovery anymore.
You just can't unplug somebody's respirator? Why, that's a crime!
Looks like you better give your interns a thorough lesson in reading the fine print on your insurance contract.
That's a good idea.
You know, I should read my insurance.
Why, you? I'll have you prosecuted for murder. Call security.
Now, keep calm, Dr. Goodguy, or we'll lose our affiliation with the HMO. Why don't we continue on our rounds, students?
Okay, let's continue.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, I suppose it is true. The rest of our patients are waiting. All right, let's see now. Over here we have Peter Hoskins, who is experiencing some pain after a knee injury. We've scheduled a series of tests, and we hope to discover...
Dr. Goodguy.
Just what the hell is that supposed to mean?
Well, I just thought I should warn you that any tests deemed unnecessary by our insurance company later on will come out of your salary.
That's ridiculous! You're giving medical personnel a financial incentive not to run tests?
Only those tests we deem unnecessary.
Well, sounds good to me. Sense. Yeah, I know. If it's unnecessary, why would you do it?
How are we supposed to know? I mean, the whole point of these tests is to... Hey, what are you doing? Give him back his crutches. I want him to keep the weight off that knee and...
Honestly, I don't know how you expect to keep costs down if you keep coddling these people. There now. You see? You can manage perfectly well without these expensive crutches.
This is an outrage!
It's okay, Dr. Goodguy. It really strengthens my other leg to kind of hop like this.
I guess that's right. Look at him. I think he's strengthening the other leg. Yeah.
This is ridiculous. This is an outrage. This is a perversion of all medical principles.
This looks like a heart attack.
Better write that down. Oh, clutching his chest?
How do you spell heart attack?
How do you spell unconscious?
Nonsense. He'll be fine. This does resemble a classic myocardial infarction, but this is the same condition most doctors experience when they experience managed care firsthand. It just takes a little getting used to.
You sure about that, Mr. Flutterbutt? I mean, he's really out, and he's kind of clutching at his chest and all.
Yeah, he looks serious.
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that.
Maybe we should call a doctor.
Believe me, I'm a managed healthcare expert from way back, and I all pull stunts like this in the beginning. Doctors just aren't used to thinking in terms of the efficient allocation of resources. Now, step over his body. And just leave it in the corridor here. Let's go on with rounds. You can hop along with us if you like, Mr. Hoskins.
Sounds great.
Larry, you might just want to move his body on out of the corridor.
Yes, sir, Mr. Flutterbutt.
You'll find managed care a much more efficient way to handle health care in the long run.
It sure seems like a great inspiration to stay healthy.
That it is, my boy. That it is.
Hey, we're back in the studio here, and you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. This is Bathrop's Piers Broadsides, and I'm your host, Robert Norris. And with us on the air from San Francisco on his dime, and I want to thank him for that, is a man who has been really deeply involved with the National Tribunal on Police Brutality and Misconduct, and a number of other organizations concerned with police violence. And let me make sure I pronounce your name right. It's Alade Jehudi?
You've done the best so far. It is Alade Jehudi Must. And I'd like to, first of all, thank you, Robert, for actually having me on your program.
Talk as loudly as you can. We have questionable studio equipment here.
Okay. Well, basically, what I would like to start with is to say Santa Cruz has really been near and dear to me. I was raised in that area as a child when my father went to the university, and so I was there during the time when things were very progressive, the late 60s, early 70s, and so to hear that you guys are doing the work you're doing around John Dine is very heartening. My father, who graduated from UC Santa Cruz with a bachelor's and went on to teach as well as get his master's degree from Modern Institute of Foreign Studies, was actually assassinated by police on the Monterey Peninsula on May 19th, 1998, a few months ago, less than 6 months ago. So your struggles around police-related issues...
You're talking about Charles Vaughn? Or?
Yes, exactly. My father was Charles Vaughn Sr. Yeah, my father was Charles Vaughn Sr., who was a retired teacher who lived in the community of Seaside for 39 years. He was a community activist, was very heavily involved in union organizing, as well as a teacher. You can imagine the impact that a person would have on someone's life. But he was also, during the heyday of the organizing, he was the center when issues around the Black Panthers and other organization arose. He was seen as the person who could be the arbiter. So I grew up in an area of or a family that believed in activism. So it was quite natural that I went off to school and graduated with a degree in peace and conflict studies. But I never, under my worst dreams, thought that I would be required to use all of my energies to defend my father's character after he was murdered on May 19th.
I know that we've been following the case a little bit up here in Santa Cruz, mainly because the Monterey Peninsula Herald, apparently, against all odds, maybe because of your activism and that of Mel Mason and other community activists in the Monterey area, have continued to keep the issue alive. I know that Mike Smith of the Peace and Freedom Party down here has been really concerned about this case, and I guess you guys got some kind of independent investigation going through patients and advocacy or something like that?
Yeah, advocacy. It's an independent organization that whenever someone who is mentally ill is either harmed by the state officials or if they're in an institution. And so we've been very fortunate enough unlike a lot of times, to have someone come in and do a more thorough investigation. The district attorney on the Minor Peninsula, like most district attorneys, are beholden to the interests of the police unions and cops that find themselves at odds with the community. And so I would actually say squarely that the task force, which Mike Smith from the Peace and Freedom Party in Santa Cruz, he's been very active and representing Santa Cruz strongly in that area, has put this issue not only to Protection and Advocacy Inc. for them to do the independent investigation, but because of their organizing, they have forced the chiefs of police throughout the state to actually convene and rethink and reorganize their policies in regards to dealing with the mentally ill. So it has had a profound effect as far as what the community is actually capable of doing when you bring together a group of activists with the sole purpose of looking to deal with human rights issues. So what I'm trying to say is, as far as effectuating positive change, it can and will happen, but only when people join together as opposed to individually in regarding these types of issues.
And that is exactly what's going to be happening Friday and Saturday down in Monterey at Monterey Peninsula College with the National Tribunal on Police Brutality and Misconduct?
Yes, exactly. Actually, my father's foundation is only one of many organizations that are actually sponsoring this. There's a very, very progressive professor down there in the Ethnic Studies Department named Henry Royal, who actually championed this this tribunal. And based on that, other organizations decided to join the coalition. And from there, it's just grown. And so we have people coming from throughout the country because of what we witness is not only these little local flare-ups of police killings and harassment of homeless, of harassment of people because of people of color or poor, but this is an epidemic. And we've been fortunate enough to be able to bring some of the heavyweights in who, for instance, Ron Daniels from New York, from the Center for Constitutional Rights, they hosted the last tribunal that was sponsored by the Congressional Black Caucus. And unfortunately, the Republicans didn't allow that to be held by a full hearing. But one thing that did come out of there was that legislation, Driving While Black or Brown, which is now, I believe, a federal law. So the thing what we're asking the folks in Santa Cruz to do is to be a part of this movement, regardless if you're not involved in police brutality, but any type of social injustice, because there are actually various panels that will be held. If I can give a quick overview, Friday night is really a very good night because of one, there'll be hundreds of people who have suffered from brutality coming together and sharing their stories. But in addition, we'll have a medical expert there to describe what it is that these activists now should be looking for whenever you encounter these types of behavior from the police, and then the eventual cover-up by the coroner. So he'll dissect one of these autopsies to show how the cover-up occurs, and then basically what to do to rectify the situation. So this is not going to be a tribunal on talking heads. This will be for people who are actually coming to be hands-on, to actually lead with some direction, and actually to help set the national agenda.
Give us, I've got a long list that you faxed me of the folks who are going to be involved: Bobby Castile, Leonard Peltier Defense Committee, John Burris, civil rights attorney in the Rodney King, Michael Novak, People Against Racist Terror, Dennis Bernstein, KPFA Flashpoints journalist, Harriet Walden, Parents Against Police Harassment. Where is Harriet from?
Harriet's actually from the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because we had assumed that that we were actually creating the will, when in fact a lot of these same issues, and what I had mentioned earlier about these being flare-ups, is that most people, as far as activists are concerned, we have to deal with these as they occur and respond to them appropriately within our area. The one thing that we've been able to do, will do at this tribunal, is to be able to unite our strategies, because of the fact that we're in different areas, and at times it's like we're going through different issues. It's all the same, just like the environmentalists up in Headwater. They lost one of their members up there who was recently killed. That's an act of human rights violation. So all these types of violations that occur, whether in the prisons, whether on the environmental front line or within the community by police. They're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need to do is this type of strategies that will come, for instance, when you talked about after the tribunal, first of all, on Saturday, which is, I mean, it's very exciting, we're going to have a tribunal. It's going to go from 9 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
First going to come up is going to be the attorney, John Burris, who's going to lay down the case against the state and the U.S. And he's going to do this very, very poignantly because of the fact he has seen from the inside out, because at one time he actually was, I believe, a district attorney. This was early in his heyday, but since then he's rectified his moral. He's gotten his stuff together,
mm-hmm.
and he's been involved in some of the most high-profile cases dealing with, for instance, as you already mentioned, the Rodney King. And so he's actually seen as one of the leaders inside of this movement. Now, after he lays his case, Amnesty International, the director of the Western Region, Cosette Thompson, is going to present their case. And their case is very straightforward, is that human rights violations are occurring daily here in America. So we don't have to look to Iraq, to Sudan. We don't have to look anywhere, because within our own state, we have these violations, and we need to start here as far as at home. And the key is that there is a plan within their report. So what we want to do is dissect that report during one of the panels and use what's appropriate and refine other issues. The other thing I'd like to mention...
You're talking about the Amnesty International Human Rights Report on the United States, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. But I think one thing I failed to mention at the very beginning mm-hmm. is I would like to call all of the good people of Santa Cruz to come out in a call to action to help save the life of Mumi Abu-Jamal.
Mm-hmm.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court recently decided that he didn't deserve a new trial, despite all of the compelling evidence that there was some corruption involved and that the issues that were never actually evaluated, evidence was withheld. So I'm asking that the people of Santa Cruz, who were at the forefront to help stop his initial execution in 95, to please stand up again, because this is one of the types of human rights violations that I'm speaking of.
Now, is there going to be an opportunity? I know there's a demonstration in San Francisco on Saturday, but is there also going to be a demonstration in Seaside or Monterey?
Yes, there actually will be that opportunity. What's going to happen is the people are going to leave from San Francisco.